So today's Divine Mercy Sunday. And we have that beautiful encounter of the Apostle Thomas with Jesus, with the mercy of God. We have in our church a beautiful image of divine mercy. And that same invitation given to Thomas is given to us. Behold my hand. Behold my heart. Behold the mercy of God for you. Behold. So three things based on the readings for today is how the Lord reveals himself after the resurrection. Why the Lord does what he does after the resurrection. And what does that mean for you and for me? How the Lord reveals himself. Why he reveals himself in that way. And what that means for you and for me. So first, the how. It's interesting, these first three Sundays of Easter, the focus is very much on the resurrection encounters with Jesus. Then the fourth Sunday of Easter, every year the focus is on Good Shepherd Sunday. And then the following Sundays of Easter, we're shifting focus to Jesus' departure and the gift and the coming of the Holy Spirit, preparing for his ascension and Pentecost. But if you notice, Jesus has a very specific way of revealing himself in the resurrection accounts. The first aspect I notice is that all these encounters are physical encounters. It's as if Jesus is trying to say, hey, look, my body is really here. And the gospel accounts all focus on that. So it's not just, oh, he saw a ghost. No, they didn't see a ghost. Because what? Two encounters in today's gospel, he breathes on them. That means they heard it and some of them felt it. So it was physical. And then Thomas, touch this wound. How many of you like seeing like wounds and stuff like that of other people? You know, not many of us. And then, here, touch it. How many of you want to touch the wounds of other people? It's like, here, touch it. Here, put your hand in here. Such a weird invitation. But it's physical. So that's the how. The other how is that each of these encounters, Jesus is chill. Or at least there's not a very much description of how Jesus is, like his emotional state. All we hear is the apostles, the disciples' emotional state. They are overjoyed. They run 7 miles after the road to Emmaus. Mary Magdalene is holding on to Jesus. But Jesus is calm. Jesus, yeah, in one word, chill. That's interesting. I don't know. That'll come into play later. Okay, it's the how. Why? Why does Jesus show up? Jesus has very particular intentions for these resurrection accounts. One of them, obviously, like, he gives them a physical encounter so they can tell other people about it. Okay, that's pretty obvious. You see that in today's gospel. Jesus gives them, he breathes on them. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. And whose sins you retain are retained. He sends the apostles out as ambassadors of mercy to receive sins on behalf of God. He sends them out, okay, to be witnesses of the resurrection, and more particularly of the mercy of God. Okay, he sends them out. But There's another aspect of this why. Why does he do what he does in the resurrection accounts? Another aspect is he brings them to the place where they can be witnesses. So they start in one place, he brings them to another. And you see that in both of these encounters. The first day of the week, where are they? Locked. Why are they hiding? From the Jews, from the authorities, from the Romans, from those who have power. Who else are they hiding from? Maybe they're hiding from Jesus. Have you thought about this? Think about this. All of the apostles, save John, left Jesus for dead. All of them ran away. One of them denied him, but they all kind of just, eh. And so imagine Jesus first walks in the room. Was that first response necessarily, oh wow, he's here? It could very well have been, oh no, he's here. Again, so Jesus bringing them from their state to where they can be witnesses. In that gap, that path is healing. Healing. And so Jesus says to those who are afraid, peace. Jesus says to those who are hiding, peace. Jesus gives mercy to those who become ambassadors of mercy. Not only that, but Thomas. Yeah, we call him Doubting Thomas. He's honest. He's honest. Jesus, why didn't you show yourself to me? Why'd you leave me out? I need a more special encounter with you, Jesus. Seeing you won't be enough. I need that physical encounter. Jesus shows up. Hey, Thomas, check it out. Check it out, Thomas. And Thomas goes from that place of a hurt heart to one of the most profound testimonies of Jesus' divinity in the entire gospel. My Lord and my God. He sees Jesus, and his faith sees his God. From a place of fear, place of healing, where he is able to be a witness, that is called healing. Okay, that's why Jesus does. He heals them so he can send them. What does that have to do with you and me? Well, my friends, Jesus wants good things for you. He even gives you a blessing in today's gospel. He invites you to receive this blessing. Thomas, you have come to believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Jesus wants to bless you. But I want to suggest, he wants to give you those physical encounters. And interesting, the emphasis is on the physical and not the emotional. That's why I said, Jesus, when he shows up, he's chill. He's calm. Seems the emphasis is on the physical over the emotional. Where today, our culture, we value the emotional over the physical, right? We'd rather get our emotions stirred up by our phones, kind of in our room, in our house, with a virtual encounter that is the only physical is touching this thing. Isn't that interesting? Like, we flipped it completely. Like, I'd rather bypass the physical completely and just watch these things that stir my emotions and make me feel good. Jesus comes. He's not like, hey, y'all, I'm Jesus from the 90s, right? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Okay, so Healing. I'll just say healing. Let's look at the readings for what types of healing. That first reading, here's the community. God favors a community. Jesus shows up to the community. And it's when Thomas comes back to the community that he meets Jesus, right? So we need the community. What does it say? After the Pentecost, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to the prayers. This is a sign of a healthy community. Some of us need healing in our relationship to our church community, right? If we just show up for most of Mass and then we get out of here as soon as possible, because man, I don't want to be near, and man, if I have to fight for through traffic, I'm going to leave right after communion, right? How many of us, that's our attitude? I can't wait to get away from this community and get on with my life. Maybe if we don't explicitly say that, maybe our actions imply that. So we need healing with our community. We need healing in our relationship with community. And yeah, that happens with showing up. Showing up. For some of us, it's showing up to something else. Showing up to something else. In the coming month, I'm going to be starting our promotion for our next Alpha. And I believe Alpha is one of our ministries that is very effective at healing community relationships. Okay. Look at the second reading. Peter giving hope. Giving hope in the midst of suffering. He says, "You rejoice, although now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So suffering can be a time. Suffering is like a fork in the road. Are you going to go closer to God or are you going to get farther from God? Some of us in our past sufferings have taken the opposite fork. And we've just gone more into ourselves, more into self-pity, more into escaping. And we've not turned to the Lord in the midst of our sufferings, but almost rejected God in the midst of our sufferings. So some of us need healing in the midst of the sufferings of the world, okay? In the midst of the sufferings we've encountered. Now, I would say healing, also the gospel. We have to look at the gospel. Because God gives you a very clear path for healing. And that is a sacrament of confession. You know, the church doesn't interpret much of the scriptures. And that's very beautiful. The church once gives you that freedom to interpret. Like, so there's not one interpretation. But there's one passage where in this gospel, the church says, hey, here's an interpretation. And that is the commissioning of the apostles for reconciliation at the Council of Trent. When many in Christianity were rejecting the sacrament of reconciliation, when many were saying that, oh, no, we don't need the priest. We can go straight to God. The church said, no, God gives you this gift for your benefit, not to keep you in bondage to the rules of the church, but to set you free by a physical encounter. To give you healing by a physical encounter. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's what confession is. It's for your healing. It's a sacrament of healing. As I say it, it's not the sacrament of shame. It's not the sacrament of I told you so. It's not the sacrament of how could you do that? It's healing. It's God loving you in a physical encounter through, as I say, the physician's assistant. He's the doctor. I'm just the physician's assistant, y'all. But we invite you to confession as an encounter with healing. All right. So yeah, a lot to pray with. I don't know. Pick one of these things I mentioned. Do you need healing with the community? Do you need like a stronger sense of community? Is your sense of community weak? Do you need healing from your suffering? Did you take the opposite fork in your suffering? Relying more on yourself, and I need to medicate myself rather than turning to God, your Father. Has it been a while since you've been to confession? Are you looking more at your sins than what God wants to do for you? Oh, my sins are too small. Oh, my sins are too big. Who cares? It's not about your sins. It's about His mercy. He wants for you. Let's pray that we may be open to receiving His mercy, so that we too can be ambassadors of His mercy. Amen.